Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the Radio.com app today.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing.
I'd like to have a banana split, and I'd like to have three scoops of ice cream, vanilla, and chocolate and strawberry.
Now, Mark Reardon.
You're kind of a dumb guy, you know that.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
I've lived a life that's full.
I missed this. I thought. My producers put all this audio in, and apparently this is what they played when President Trump was taking off on Air Force One and leaving the nation's capital, heading to Mar-a-Lago. I'm still pretty confused because, and people are posting some screenshots this afternoon on Twitter of the QAnon message boards because people are just, they've lost it. They don't know what to think. Wait a second, what happened to martial law? I thought that Biden was going to be arrested, all these things that people said. Now, I think that the fringe is the fringe. I think most people are kind of sane on this. However, I will tell you that the conversations that I've had with some folks, the messages that have been shared by some folks have been shocking to me, including people who really kind of should know better about what was going to happen today. But look, there's a lot of glee. There are tingly feelings today. I don't really share those today. I think it's an important moment for the country. I'm ready to put Donald J. Trump behind me for sure in the move forward. But I think that everyone needs to kind of take a deep breath here. The Republic will survive. There is barely a majority in the Senate right now. In two more years, you have a chance for a correction. I get why everyone's worried, and we're going to focus on that in the next couple of years when issues come before us. If there's an extreme lurch to the left, which there will be, we'll maybe be able to correct it in a couple of years. But if you just kind of back off, you don't stay engaged, you think that the system is screwed, you're not going to vote, well, then it's not going to change. And things are going to really get difficult in this country. I never get, and I never really have understood why people get so angry about some of this stuff, too. Now, I get why I get so angry, because this is what I do, and I'm an angry person by my very nature. But focus on your family. Focus on what happens locally. Enjoy your life. You know, don't play golf like me because that just frustrates you. I see people that are so full of anger on Twitter and Facebook, and I think that's a problem for those people. They need to kind of take a deep look inside. So one of the questions that I have here today, it's interesting too, because there wasn't in my mind a ton of some sorts of winning for the last 4 years. You know, the wall wasn't built. Let's be honest about that. Trump lost the House. He lost the Senate. He lost the White House. That's not a great track record, if you ask me. However, you did have some great policies and the deregulation and the tax cuts. I mean, I think a lot of us were big fans of that. Those are gone now, and the legacy is the insurrection, right? I heard, I think it was Ari Fleischer said this morning, and I agree with him. Trump, unlikable. I've called him reprehensible. People knew that. People were willing to put up with it because of the policy and the accomplishments and the direction that he took. And he got things done. I mean, he didn't get the wall done. He didn't get some of the other stuff done, but he did get some things done. Biden, likable. Joe's a likable guy. I don't see why people have so much animus about Joe Biden. What is there to be angry about for Joe Biden? Somebody, let me see if I can find this on Twitter here this afternoon, because I posted something about late night comedians. So what are the late night comedians going to do, right? one of my old radio pals from the People's Republic of Wisconsin, Phil Scianciola, said, and so it begins. After feasting for 4 years, comedians now must find new material. Godspeed. And I said, well, talk show hosts too. And someone said, you don't think a senile old child groper in the White House won't provide you with content? What the hell is that all about? That's just dumb. Stop it. The same people who, and I guarantee you that Charles, the guy who posted that, ripped on the left for making fun of Donald Trump's looks and everything else. Sometimes you got to think through these things, like on the executive orders. Let's talk about the executive orders. It's so funny. You see the hyperventilating about executive orders, which, by the way, they're terrible, right? Because he's taking everything back that Trump did. But there were warnings about this 4 years ago. Well, the executive orders, what's going to happen when the Democrats take over? So you can't complain about that right now. Really, you have sacrificed the right to complain about the executive orders because the other guy did it as well. So he's going to sign some things even this afternoon to extend evictions and foreclosure moratoriums, extend the federal student loan pause, rejoin the WHO and the Paris Climate Agreement, which is silly, requiring masks on federal property. I guess I didn't know that that wasn't even the case at this time. Here's a question for you. Think about this. I had someone bring this up, and I think it's worth a little pondering. Do you think if Donald... Dave, I'm going to ask you this question. Jump on in here, Mr. Klein. Let me ask you this. Do you think if Donald J. Trump wore a mask for the duration of the summer and took COVID as seriously as he took it in March, April, and May, that he would be taking the oath of office today?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
I do, too. I do, too. And I had Selena Zito, and here's why. Let me explain to people who don't understand this. Selena Zito was on Monday. Great conversation. I know it was the holiday. Some people may have missed it. She wrote a book called The Great Revolt. I had to point out to the audience on Monday, The Great Revolt was not about January 6th. It was about 4 years ago. And she really dialed in because she was a journalist. She traveled across the country. She talked to people in Missouri, in Nebraska, in Texas, in New York, in California. She met with people. What are they talking about? What are they all about? What are they worried about? What keeps them up at night? All these things. And she did it this year, too. So to Selena Zito and a lot of others, Mike Kelly, Hancock and Kelly, Mike saw this coming. I don't like to give Kelly too much credit, but he saw it with his union people 4 years ago, early. I remember having conversations with him about that. So Selena saw it early, and what happened in this... Now, there's no way to dial down exactly on how everyone decided to vote, but there's also no doubt that what happened throughout the summer and into the fall is that older voters, older white voters, backed away from the president. Offer an example. I have a friend who's got a father who lives at the Lake of the Ozarks, and he could not be more enthusiastic about the president's policies, his ideology, his America First, all that stuff, but did not like, he's in his 70s, did not like how he treated COVID, right? I think you can really make the case that, you know, we had all those briefings from Dr. Fauci. If he grabbed a hold of this and was more engaged in the final 4 months the way he was in the first 2 months, I think he would still be president today. I really do. And I think that the polling, and if you look at some of the autopsies in the aftermath, they sort of bear that out because these races in the states that mattered were close. Now, one thing you're going to have to get used to here, and this is something I think we're going to have to deal with, is everything for the next few years is going to be framed around race and gender. Everything. Even things you don't think are going to be framed around race and gender, they will. Here's what I want, okay? Let's take all this partisan nonsense out of it for a second here. The top priority, the only priority, in fact, it's dumb that Joe Biden is going to sign these executive orders. The priority should be the vaccine, the vaccine, the vaccine, and also the vaccine. I don't want to hear about anything else. I really don't. So you should get private industry involved, right? Well, here's something for you. Amazon today, now it's a little, I don't want to just say that Amazon didn't make that offer because I don't know if they did, but Amazon has extended an offer to Joe Biden to assist with the national COVID vaccine distribution. Good. Dave Clark, CEO, says Amazon stands ready to assist you. Did Amazon stand ready to assist us a month ago? Maybe it did. Maybe there were overtures they weren't followed up on. I don't know. But Joe Biden should rally We have great forces. When we really put our minds to something in this country, we can do it. And this can be achieved. And the only way we get back to normal, for those of you who don't want to wear a mask or you don't think this is real or whatever you want to say about COVID, if you want your life back, this is the way to go about it. Get the vaccine out there and make sure people are not going to be able to spread this as much as they are. And that should be the priority. There really should be nothing else that Joe Biden should even handle or tackle for the next month or 100 days. That should be it. It should have been what this president that just left office was talking about the last couple of months, instead of this nonsense about the stolen election with no evidence whatsoever. I mean, that wouldn't have helped him stay in office because he already lost, but he was still president. All right, let's play a little audio here from what happened today. We'll start with the president who just left office. This is President Trump leaving the White House.
A goodbye. We love you. We will be back in some form. And again, I want to just in leaving, I want to thank our Vice President, Mike Pence, and Karen. I want to thank Congress because we really worked well with Congress, at least certain elements of Congress. But we really did. We've gotten so much done that nobody thought would be possible. But I do want to thank Congress. And I want to thank all of the great people of Washington, D.C., all of the people that we worked with to put this miracle together. So have a good life. We will see you soon. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
There were a lot of people commenting, including I think our own Amy Markscores this morning, that the have a good life line was like, that's what you say when you're breaking up with a boyfriend or girlfriend. Joe Biden making a speech after being sworn in.
History, faith, and reason show the way of unity. We can see each other not as adversaries, but as neighbors. We can treat each other with dignity and respect. We can join forces, stop the shouting, and lower the temperature. For without unity, there is no peace, only bitterness and fury. No progress, only exhausting outrage. No nation, only a state of chaos.
I believe this country needs an adult in the room right now, and I hope that Joe Biden can be that adult in the room. I don't like what the campaign is about or was about or the direction that he claims or we are going to be dragged into right now. But I think there is leadership that's needed right now. And I don't know if it's going to be provided or not. We'll see how many different directions they go. And we'll see how the media treats this as well, because that's one of the concerns moving forward. I mean, there's so much gushing going on right now. It's unbelievable. And you just have to expect it. And I know people don't like the double standard. We saw it between what happened last summer and January 6th. I get it. I know it. Some of this I've just sort of accepted defeat on, because you're not going to be able to change the CNNs, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and their narrative. I think they're going to be kind of bored. I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to either have to resort to real journalism or maybe somehow bring Donald Trump back into the fray just to have stories. What are all the fact checkers supposed to do here for the next 4 years, along with the talk show hosts and the late night comedians, right? What are they going to do? And then who's next? People are already talking about that. Let's throw it out there before the break here this afternoon. How about Nikki Haley and Dan Crenshaw in 2024? There's one for you. We'll just toss that out there. We'll take a break. Dr. Randall Williams, who heads the health department in the state of Missouri, is going to join me. I got some interesting COVID comparison numbers. We'll talk about the vaccine, all of that with Dr. Williams coming up next on KMOX. To say
the things. The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
2:21 at KMOX. We have a roundtable set for Friday. Jane will be here, former House Speaker Jim Jones, and Jeff Rainford on the panel on Friday. Gerard Baker, I mentioned him yesterday. He's written a couple of really good pieces on what's been happening
with Trump and Biden in the election and where the Republicans go next. And he's going to join me at 2:35. I'm excited. I've never had Gerard on the show, so that's coming up a little later in this hour. Dr. Randall Williams is with me, the director of the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, going to talk a little bit about what's going on with COVID and the vaccine. Dr. Williams, really appreciate you squeezing me in. I know how busy you are. So where are we? I was looking at some numbers this morning from the St. Louis Regional Pandemic Task Force. Things are heading in the right direction right now, which is good. Would you agree with that first and foremost?
Yeah, Mark, thanks so much for having me on the show. And, you know, I get up every morning about 3:30 and look across the country and look at Missouri. So when I got up this morning and looked at the CDC, we're ninth in the country to the good for cases per 100,000 over the last 7 days. Better than any of the 8 states around us. And that's just a real testament to Missourians doing those things that we hoped they would do. We understand it's a dynamic situation, but at this moment in time, we're incredibly appreciative that our hospitalizations have decreased somewhat, that our cases have decreased, our positivity has decreased. And so we feel like we've got this window to really concentrate on getting out the vaccine. I just left the governor. I'm getting ready to join the governor again. And so it's an all-hands-on-deck approach here for the vaccination effort.
So do you have any reason that you believe that things have maybe started pointing in the right direction? There was concern, obviously. I don't know if we did get that spike from Thanksgiving. It sure looked like maybe we did. There was concern about Christmas. But if you look 2 weeks out from Christmas, that's when things maybe started to improve. So is it people paying attention? You have other thoughts on why that's happening?
Yeah, I really believe it is. I started the day at 7 o'clock this morning with the Kansas City intensivist, and they asked me the same question. When you look around the country, that's certainly not what you're seeing in Texas and California and some of our coastal states. And so, you know, to some degree, that might be the part of the UK variant. We have not had a documented case of the UK variant in Missouri. There's been one case in Illinois. But we're watching that very, very closely. We check 500 samples every day and have looked back all the way to November and haven't seen it. But I really believe that we did not see the surge. We put out a health warning right before Thanksgiving, and I just am incredibly appreciative to Missourians who my best explanation is they are doing those things that we would ask they do. But we would say at the same time that, you know, this isn't time to let up. I mean, cold weather, people congregating, looking around the country, increased cases. We need to just keep on doing what we've been doing. You know, you're a big baseball fan. You know, this is not the time to slack off.
Yeah.
This is the time to redouble your efforts.
On the vaccine front right now, what can you tell us in Missouri and the St. Louis area? I still sense there's some confusion about when people can get it, how they go about getting it. There is an opportunity, for example, to sign up online, I believe. There might be some people listening right now that would say, I don't have computer access. How do I do that? So how could you guide people into a little information here, Dr. Williams?
Yeah, Mark, great question. Thanks for giving me a forum. The first thing I have to, you know, make sure the governor just and I talked about it is we just opened up because our North Star is our most vulnerable, and our data tells us that's people over 65 and people with comorbid conditions like heart disease, pregnant, cancer. And so we just have to get vaccine to those people. But here is our reality. When we opened up that universe for Tier 1 and Tier 2 to get it to patients, we opened it up to a universe of about 3 million, 2.5 to 3 million people. We have more than 1 million Missourians who are over 65. And at this moment in time, we are getting, as of this morning, 80,000 vaccines a week. So you can kind of do the math. We got a universe of 2.5 million, and we're only getting 80,000 now. So my request would be that even though you've been made eligible, we fully understand that at this moment in time, there's probably not going to be vaccine for you. Now, to find that out, go to our website, mostopscovid.com. All 600 vaccinators who signed up to give vaccine and receive vaccine are there. So if you live in St. Louis, go to the St. Louis part of it and look at the hospitals, the health departments, the FQHCs. I'll be up on Saturday vaccinating people with Dr. Kendra Holmes with Athenia. go to that, and then contact the facilities in your area, whether it be your health department or the hospitals, and they will have some sort of messaging to say, we do not have vaccine at this time, or we have vaccine at this time. This is how you go about receiving it. So go to our website, see where you think you might most likely get it, and then contact them, usually online, and find out what their status is.
So, Dr. Williams, on the future of trying to improve the distribution, I mentioned this in the opening segment. There was an email sent by the CEO of Amazon to the Biden administration saying, we want to help. And I don't know if these things have been offered during President Trump's time or not, but it seems to me that there should be a lot of focus from this administration on getting private enterprise involved to get this out there as much as possible, because it's not just Missouri. I mean, we're behind already. Dr. Fauci and others, I think you even told me this, there was optimism for the number of vaccinations by March or April, but we're well behind on that right now.
We are, and we, you know, we're in a phone conversation last week with Health and Human Services. We're hopeful that the J&J will be available in March, a one-shot vaccine, and then the AstraZeneca has already been approved in the UK, and they expressed the hope that that would be available in March, too. So we do think that it will get better as we get those two vaccines. But at this moment in time, as the governor and I always say, the rate limiting step in Missouri, if you're not getting a vaccine, is simply the amount of vaccine that's shipped to Missouri, which is 2% of the total amount.
Yeah. Well, there's part of the problem right there. Dr. Randall Williams, I know you have other things scheduled. I'm glad that you've squeezed this in and keep up the good fight, because I know you're doing a great job. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And thank you so much for all you're doing to help inform people. That's really, really helpful, and we appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Take care. I've said this about Dr. Williams before. I mean, he was a holdover from the Greitens administration, and maybe one of the best things that happened from that administration, because he is a real sharp guy. You know, one of the things that Eric Greitens did do before his downfall is he put some of the best people in these positions, and I do believe Dr. Williams is one of those. Let me kind of go over some numbers here for you before we get into the break, just sort of piggybacking on that with where we are with COVID. I used to do this quite a bit, where I would kind of take a look at the numbers, compare and contrast where we are from, you know, March, April, May. I was shocked when I had yesterday Linda Garofano on from Italy, and I was looking at the charts from Italy, just in my mind assuming that March was a lot worse than what they've been experiencing in November and April, and in fact, or November and December, and in fact it was the opposite. It really wasn't the case at all. Right now, we have, and I'll give you some compare and contrast. This was from the task force yesterday, so there might be some new numbers this afternoon. 688 patients hospitalized in the St. Louis area, 48 persons under, you know, in, what is it, a PUI, persons under investigation. Is that the right thing? I think it's PUI. Yeah, it's PUI, but I can't remember what it stands for. I'll think of that in a second. What they used to do in the spring is they combined those. So right now they have it separated, 668. And 48. The total is 716. So 48 of those are suspected COVID patients. In the ICU, there's 134 with 7 suspected. So that brings you to 141. 86 on the ventilators right now. 88 total with 2 PUI. The day after Christmas, we were at 816 and 56. So 872 is the total. We're at 716 today. I'm going to try to make sure you don't get lost here. So that's an improvement of about 140 patients when it comes to hospitalizations. The ICU numbers the day after Christmas were 176. I'm combining these at this time, under, suspected, and confirmed. So 176 the day after Christmas. Today we're at 142 combined. The ventilators the day after Christmas, 112. Today we're at 88. Now in April, the ventilators were at 149. Again, we're at 86. The ICU is at 175. This was April 15th. Now we're at 142. The total patients, this is interesting. I think this makes sense, too. The total patients were 707, and now we're at 716. You have more people hospitalized, fewer people going into the ICU on ventilators. They're getting better at dealing with these patients. And I think the level of virus is perhaps not as intense as it was in the spring as well. I mean, some of this gets into, you know, the weeds with the medicine, and I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on the radio. But I thought those numbers were interesting. We'll take a break here. Gerard Baker from the Wall Street Journal coming up next on KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
You know, there's another interesting topic I'll get to this afternoon. Former State Senator Jeff Smith, he's a regular on the Reardon Roundtable. He wrote a piece for a publication called the Missouri Independent, and I think he's serious about this. He had a bet. Somebody offered a pretty big wager about the whether or not Trump would still be in office. And this was after the D.C. insurrection, I think. But we'll find out. He could have won. I think he's serious about this. He could have won like $2 million, but he couldn't get the financing together to place the bet. We'll get with Jeff in the next hour. I've mentioned this in the last couple of weeks. Gerard Baker from the Wall Street Journal has written a couple of, I think, the best opinion pieces on wrapping up this administration. He's with me this afternoon. I got to suck up a little, Gerard. I don't think you've ever been on the show, but I've loved what you've written lately. So thanks for coming on. How are you? Happy New Year.
Well, that's very kind of you, Mark. Thank you very much indeed for having me, and Happy New Year to you. It's very kind to hear from you.
You wrote something that was about, and I think this is true, and right now you have a lot of people out there who are listening to me that are disgusted by what happened a couple of weeks ago, but they feel like they're being lumped in, right, with everyone that did that on January 6th. And your topic was about how there's as much to learn from Trump's success as his disgrace. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, well, again, thanks for having me. I'm sure many of your listeners do feel the same way, and it's kind of interesting, you know, just watching the inauguration of Biden and listening to what he's saying, it reminded me again of this same phenomenon. Look, what I was writing in that piece and what I believe very firmly is, you know, Donald Trump had many successes as president. We can talk about, you know, tax cuts and deregulation and judges and justices on the Supreme Court and all those kind of successes. I think his biggest success, though, and it goes back to the reason he was elected originally in 2016 and the reason that almost 75 million people voted for him a couple of months ago, which is his ability to, quite uniquely among modern politicians, to speak to the concerns and the values and the beliefs of many, many millions of ordinary Americans who feel, rightly, that their views, that their values, that their ideals have been, frankly, trashed for the last 20 years or so by politicians, by the media, by Hollywood, by the cultural establishment. And, you know, their views, their belief comes down to believing in things like America, you know, the traditional values on which America was built, which is that this is a great country. And, you know, you can tell from my accent, I'm an immigrant to this country, but I came to this country because
right?
I mean, it is a great country. And it's the greatest country. It's been the greatest force for freedom in the history of the planet. But for the last 20 years, more than that, maybe the last three or four decades, you know, the establishment have been telling Americans it's a terrible country and you're bad and you're evil and, you know, you need to get rid of your white privilege and it's you know, you're oppressors. Now, no one's disputing for a second that America has got a lot of things wrong in its past, and obviously slavery and obviously Jim Crow. And we, you know, but the great thing about America is that it's put those things right. It's recognized that the terrible ills and the sins of its past, and it's put them right. And I think people are just, you know, we now live in a world, in a country in which half the people of this country are told that they are bigots, that they are Neanderthals, that they are, you know, out of time. They need to be re-educated. They need to, you know, and I think Donald Trump's great success was that he articulated those views. And again, I was just saying, listening to Joe Biden's, you know, inaugural speech, it's like, once again, there's hints of, well, you know, we've got to bring this country together by making sure that all those people who voted for Donald Trump see, you know, come to see the light, come to see things as they really are. That, to me, is kind of a bad start for the Biden presidency, because, you know, there are 75 million people. The 75 million people who voted for Donald Trump are not all white supremacists. They're not all people who want to storm the Capitol, you know, carrying Confederate flags and, you know, disrupt the government and actually pervert the course of the Constitution. They are, most of the vast majority of people who voted for Donald Trump are good, decent Americans who are just tired of being spoken to as though they're kind of, you know, they don't belong here, that they don't have a right to be here, and that they need to be re-educated. And that's what Donald Trump, to me, did so successfully.
I'm concerned moving forward, Gerard, for those Americans who did vote for Donald Trump and who are not white nationalists, which means overwhelming the majority, because they feel like they don't know where to go right now. And I think a big part of this, and I've talked about this literally for decades on my show, is the lack of trust in the media, in the traditional mainstream media outlets. It's shocking to me right now, Gerard, and probably to you too. I'm sure you see some of the same messaging and things on social media, that there are so many people, or just look at the polling from Republican voters, they truly believe that Donald Trump won this election in a landslide, because they were told that repeatedly. But they also maybe don't know where to go moving forward when it comes to connecting with people in the way that they connected with Donald Trump, someone who does sort of maybe have a representation and is not an elitist and maybe understands a little bit more about what their problems are.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that is a big question. Look, the Republican Party's got big trouble because clearly what Donald Trump did and denying the election result, you know, he was perfectly entitled to challenge the election results, to go through the courts. And but once you lose those cases in the courts, once you can't demonstrate to, you know, to a judge's, to a court satisfaction that you have been the victim of a significant electoral fraud, and he couldn't, and he tried it 50 times, whatever it was, you have to accept the result. You may not like the result. You may still think there was something funny about the result. But the way the Constitution works, the way this democracy works, is you have to accept the result. And he didn't do that. So, you know, he's got himself impeached, and now, you know, we're going to see what happens in the Senate, see whether they go ahead and convict him. But the Republican Party's got a problem because, on the one hand, you know, there are people, I think, you know, understandably, people like Mitch McConnell, who feel what happens on January the 6th and the way the president has behaved since the election is completely unacceptable, and maybe he should be impeached and been impeached, be convicted in the Senate, and disqualified from office. The problem with that, though, if they do that, is Donald Trump will take a lot of his supporters with him. We've seen those polls that show that more than half of Republican voters agree with Donald Trump that the election was stolen. So the risk is, if they kind of if they do find a way to disqualify him from running for office, you know, what's to stop him from you know, organizing a political movement? He may not be able to run for president, but he may find some other way to express himself, and he could take a huge number of Republican voters with him, and the Republican Party will never get into power again, not as long as Donald Trump's around. So it is, you know, you're absolutely right, Mark. There is a problem, but where do those Donald Trump voters go? I hope that in the next few weeks and months, there will be a genuine healing, and people will come to accept the result, and Biden maybe won't be, you know, quite the kind of, you know, won't be the captive of the left of his party that many of us fear he will be, and that the Republican Party can come through. By the way, even if Biden does become the captive of the left of his party, that will be good for the Republican Party in a way, because I think it will quickly unite the Republicans around, you know, an anti-democratic and anti-left wing agenda. Maybe that will happen, and whether it's with Trump or without Trump, the party will be able to move on. But right now, yeah, there's a party, there's a Republican Party, and there's a kind of Trump party, and if that happens in the next, you know, again, and if Trump is able to run again in 2024, either on the Republican ticket or as an independent or whatever he wants to do, it's going to damage the Republican Party. There's no question about that. So it is a problem right now.
Here's the perfect example of what you just said here in Missouri. We'll dial it down to my state here in Missouri. A Missouri's got Remington poll that showed, thinking about the various types of voters within the Republican Party, which type of voter do you consider yourself to be? Traditional and establishment, evangelical, a Trump Republican, libertarian, outsider, or something else? Traditional and establishment, 19%. Evangelical, 18%. Trump Republican, 44%. And then there's libertarian like me, and we're only 3%. So every time I think the conservative libertarian is moving forward, we're not. But that's pretty stunning.
So
now in Missouri,
somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. But in Missouri, Gerard, you would expect that. But the one thing that really is a problem for Trump moving forward is he doesn't have a forum.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no social media. I mean, what is he going to do? How is he going to communicate?
Well, that's right. I mean, by the way, and you know, the banning by social media of Donald Trump is, you know, I think is something that is, one, not only wrong in itself, but I think is going to have bad. It's going to have blowback for not only for the social media companies, but for the country in general. Because if you look, Donald Trump, whatever, he had 90 million followers, 75 million people voted for an election. You know, I don't like a lot of what Donald Trump tweeted. Some of it, you know, I wish he hadn't done it, and some of the stuff he said about the election was just wrong, and he shouldn't have done that either. But are you really going to tell, you know, those 90 million followers, those 75 million voters, that they don't have a right to hear, you know, on the most important platforms in our current communications environment? They're not allowed to hear from that man. It's not going to last. And what's going to happen is he's presumably going to form another social network or another media company or whatever. He's going to go and do that, and he's going to find ways to communicate with those people. And So he's not going to go away, I don't think. There's no evidence that he will, and he will be around. And the Republican Party's got to, you know, got to figure out how to do it. And the problem is the Republican Party, you know, a lot of us, you know, we've talked a lot about this. There's been an attempt, I think, a lot of people have been thinking for the last year or so, or especially since the election defeat, that, look, maybe there's a way of, you know, use getting Trump's appeal, Trump's populist appeal, doing all the things that we've talked about, his ability to speak to voters who haven't been, who felt unspoken to and have felt voiceless for the last 20 or 30 years. Maybe there's a way of combining that, but sort of without the kind of parts of Trump's character and without the tweeting and the, you know, the misrepresentation of facts and everything else that he does. The problem is there probably isn't. I mean, you know, I think this is what kind of like Josh Hawley, you know, and you know Senator Hawley very well over there.
Oh, very, you know, well, right?
He,
yes.
You know, he's tried. You know, he's maybe tried to do that and tried to position himself as the man to do that, but in the process, I think he's rather, you know, frankly, you know, cack-handed way of developing doing that, or, you know, in the events around January the 6th, I think that's done himself enormous damage with a lot in the Republican Party. So it's not that easy. I mean, it's not going to be easy to find someone who can speak the language and speak and appeal to people in the way Donald Trump does, but perhaps without the kind of the stuff that a lot of people found offensive and found divisive. So that's, you know, that is a challenge for the party. And I don't think Donald Trump's going away. So we're going to have to see whether, you know, in terms of whether he develops a political force, whether he develops a social media kind of force. But I'm pretty confident that he, you know, he has so much support and he has so many people who believe in him more than they believe in what the Republican Party stands for, that I don't think we can write him off.
I think you're right about that. Great conversation. I appreciate it. I love the work that I've seen lately, even more so in the Wall Street Journal. Gerard Baker, you see him on Fox Business as well. Great to have you on here in St. Louis, and have a happy new year, Gerard. We'll have you back.
Thanks, Mark. Same to you.
St. Louis's Morning News. Total Information AM. Weekday mornings at 5 on KMOX and KMOX.com.
I can't wait. Former Senator Smith, he was on the roundtable last week, but he did not tell me about this. Apparently, he was involved in a potential wager that could have netted a significant amount of winnings if Trump, he was betting that Trump would not take office today. And somebody was challenging him, say, hey, you know what? Because there were people that were convinced, probably still are convinced, that somehow Donald Trump was going to stay in office. But Jeff Story, and he wrote about it in a piece that was in a publication that I can't remember off the top of my head. So I will look it up here. Let's see here. I do know what it is. Missouri Independent. Really interesting. So we'll talk with Jeff in the next hour. You know, one of the things in the constant themes, and I think this is going to be something that we'll talk about quite a bit, because as I mentioned, there's gushing galore going on right now. There's tingling in the media. Dave, you have the Joy Reid stuff?
I have that ready.
Let me call an audible. Yeah, play Joy Reid here on MSNBC.
What a story, though. What a great love story between Jill Biden and Joe Biden, and the way that she helped his family recover from tragedy, you know, to bring Joe back from what he lost. It's a wonderful story. And we haven't had a love story in
now,
the White House.
It may be a wonderful story. I'm not going to take that away from it, but there is no doubt that the tone that MSNBC, that CNN, that, well, probably even Fox will take is going to be different. There's actually maybe even a sense of this from Chris Wallace, because, Dave, let's play a little Chris Wallace here. And he's taking a little heat from this because he was gushing about the Biden address here this morning.
We must end this uncivil war. And the way we can do it is if we show each other a little tolerance and humility. Martha, I thought it was a great speech. I've been listening to these inaugural addresses since 1961, John F. Kennedy, Ask Not. I thought this was the best inaugural address I ever heard. Obviously, a lot of this event today, a lot of the president's speech was colored by the emotion of the fact that exactly 2 weeks ago, 14 days ago, there was a mob of thugs, of insurrectionists, of domestic terrorists on the inaugural stand. And Joe Biden was saying that democracy prevailed. We were able to get through that. And he was talking about how we need to get through that in the future if we are going to be a united country. He talked about white supremacy, domestic terrorism. He said we must confront it. We will defeat it. My whole soul is in this, uniting our people.
Well, so Chris Wallace doing commentary. Then Twitter reacts because he's the guy that wasn't good at the debate. So Fox is bleeding viewers right now. Where does that take everyone? Well, it's going to take people, and I have a little bit more from Frank Luntz's focus groups coming up in the next hour. Where is that going to take people for their media coverage? They're going to back off. The Trump supporters aren't going to watch CNN, MSNBC, CNBC. Now they're not going to watch Fox. So they're going to go to OAN or Newsmax or somewhere else. And where does that leave us as a country? I think that's a legitimate question moving forward as well. I've had several of you reach out, and I wish I had an answer to this because I've talked about this for so long with the media coverage. I wish I had a place where I could go and turn on my television. I go back and forth these days. I got so sick and tired of CNN during the Kavanaugh stuff. I just swore them off for a while, started watching Fox. Fox started annoying me for different reasons than they annoyed the Trump supporters, really because they were spreading the lies and misinformation and helping with that. So I go back and forth. It's like watching two different worlds. It really is. You see stuff on Fox that you'll never see anywhere else because they're not really covering the news. You see stuff on CNN that is completely agenda-driven, just framed behind, you know, political ideology. It's not news. It doesn't qualify as news. So where can people go? People are asking me this. To get news. I've got no idea. So there you go. There's my help here this afternoon. Second hour of the show coming up. Hang in there.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.